Welcome to IntelliCast, powered by Skip.
I'm Cam Mackey with Skip, and it's my pleasure today to introduce Andy Silvernail, Chairman and CEO of IDEX Corporation. IDEX is a really unique and rare type of company. It's nimble and entrepreneurial, yet it has sales well over $2 billion and literally thousands of products. Products that do anything from help sequence the COVID-19 genome to saving lives on our roads every day through the jaws of life. Andy has led this unique organization for over 10 years now. He's helped build a different kind of company, one grounded in servant leadership rather than top-down hierarchies. Employee engagement has risen significantly, but so has shareholder returns. Somehow, through this impressive growth path, IDEX has retained their speed, their agility, and their scrappiness. It's a great story, and we're delighted to welcome Andy to the Skip IntelliCon. Andy, welcome.
Thanks, Cam. I appreciate it. And it's really nice to be included here and be invited to talk about intelligence and strategic intelligence. I think it's a really important topic and one that we have taken very seriously. We do come at things differently than a lot of businesses. We have a tendency to deeply segment our businesses and to get to a point of impact where we understand the application and the market and the customer really deeply. And so while we're not doing a lot of what I'll call big picture analytics, right? We don't have a staff of economists or anything like that. We get really deep into the practical aspects of marketing intelligence. And I think it's a differentiator for us. And we have for a long time, we've been on this journey and we call it going right. Years ago, we put a graphic up at our annual leadership meeting. And we said, hey, you know, when companies get to be our size, they tend to do one of two things. And we showed a fork in the road. And that fork in the road, turning left, is kind of a classic big company where you start to put a lot of process in place and bureaucracy. And you do that fundamentally because you don't think that the people can make the leap themselves. And so you're gonna manage and lead through process. And we made the really important decision to go right, which is a people-centric, highly entrepreneurial company that allows you to be nimble. But to do that, you've got to know the markets that you're in. You've got to understand your competitors. You've got to understand your customers. You got to understand the problems of the world. And you got to kind of get muddy, right? You got to get deep into the stuff. You can't do these things from a corner office or the ivory tower. You really got to have to get into it. And I think that's what makes us unique. So again, thank you for inviting me. I'm glad to participate. I'm excited to engage with the folks here.
No, that's great, Andy. And I'm going to borrow that phrase, get muddy. It's a good one. You mentioned a little bit about the, you know, entrepreneurial and customer focused approach at IDEX, where you get to know your markets really well. So maybe tell us a little bit about how you structure this function, market or competitive intelligence. You know, sounds like you don't have a top heavy corporate organization, but how does that actually work in the business?
So we do it by business and even within a business. So just so that everyone understands, we've got about 45 businesses within IDEX, right? So 45 unique businesses that we have acquired and built over the years. So IDEX, we have businesses that are over 100 years old, actually, you know, some that are 110 years old. And we have some that are quite new that we've actually built from scratch. And so when we think about this, we go through a process, an analytical process called 80-20. So think of the Pareto principle, where you're segmenting down through your business lines and you're trying to understand how value really flows to the customer, right? So what does the customer want? And then we try to align resources, as many as possible, around that value flow for the customer. And a big piece of what happens in there is either what we call a business line leader or potentially a product manager or a marketing manager is going to have the principal intelligence responsibility for understanding the competitive landscape and the customer landscape. And what we try to do is make it so an individual can really have terrific line of sight, which they're not trying to look at thousands of products or hundreds of products. They're trying to understand an application set and go really deep into it. And I always kind of start with the classic Porter's Five Forces, right? That's one of the things we ask people to I think it's probably the single best framework of competition. And if you think about that, so for the folks in the audience who are familiar with that, I mean, it's a concept that's been around a long time, but it's looking at how power is distributed through any kind of competitive environment, right? So what's happening with the customer, what's happening with the supplier, what's happening with new entrants, what's happening with people who are in the market today, and maybe what's happening with disruption. So if you kind of think of it as a star almost, right, how these forces are coming together, we ask those people who are in that application area of focus to really deeply understand, starting there, understand that. There's many facts as you can get, as much quantitative information, provable facts that you can get to understand that environment. And that to me is always a great place to stay, because that tells you how much of the profit pool you're likely to claim and how much you are unlikely to claim, and whether or not you really want to be in that business at all. What we have found is that within any application or sub-segment, when we are a number one or a number two in these highly engineered, very difficult problems in these subsets, when we are number one or number two, we tend to have the ability to extract significant amount of power or profits from that profit pool. And so if you don't understand, number one, the segmentation and where you really sit, and if you don't understand what the forces are that are going to determine who gets which pieces of the profit pool, you're kind of, you know, shooting in the dark. And you've really got to get down to that level of intelligence. And it starts really with that kind of analytics.
Yeah, well, that's great. So it really sounds like you're looking at those functions as ways to contribute, you know, direct, you know, eventually financial value back to the business, rather than just, you know, what report did you write for me lately? So really kind of measuring them by brass tacks of contributed value.
Yeah, you know, Cam, it's everything. And I know one of the questions that's out there in people's minds in this forum is, you know, how important am I to the organization?
Right? Yeah. They're a little worried.
Everyone asks that question. And frankly, this is a role that can either be incredibly valuable or a complete waste of time. And it comes down to how important does the organization think the role is, right? So therefore, are you in the mud, right? Are you in the mix? And it depends upon how much people are willing to dig in and really roll their sleeves up. Because, you know, if you think about most competitive intelligence or most market intelligence that's out there, people want to rely on reports, data from, publications and whatnot. And the reality is that there's only a couple of markets, not a couple, there are a handful of big markets where that sort of data is available. But in most markets, it doesn't exist, right? There are maybe pieces of data, but the real value is in getting in, right? Really getting in there and understanding it. Because then you have what I call asymmetrical information, right? So if you think about how you win, you need to know more than the competition. And if you know more than competition, you're going to be able to develop new products, enter new markets, position yourselves in ways that create more value for customers that therefore they'll pay you for. And so in these markets where it's very hard to find that information, there's a tendency to actually not want to do the hard work. And what's interesting is it is the place where all the value is, right? All the value is in these places where you can get asymmetrical information. You can know a lot more. These markets, let's say like the semiconductor market. Well, everybody has the same information. Yeah. So therefore it's a commodity. If you really think.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so, you know, if we can get a product marketer or a marketing manager, whichever job that is, a business line leader, if they can get really deeply in there with the customer, understanding that customer's problem and the issues, you can create enormous value and incredible competitive differentiation.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. That's music to my ears, you know, as the leader of Skip, where the AI and big data, there's an incredible opportunity for us to tame this, you know, huge amount of data that you say it's in some ways a commodity. There's an opportunity there, but there's still a role for getting to know your markets and your competitive landscape. You know, we call it, you know, the primary research, right? Where that's, you got to get in there. It takes time, it takes relationships and takes investments, but the outcome can be really rich. So you're a busy guy And you know, at your level especially, where you don't want to read through a lengthy PowerPoint deck, you want to know the so what do I do now? How do you like to receive information that impacts IDEX's growth strategy? What's is it a visual? Is it a conversation? What is useful for you?
It's going to depend a little bit. And the reason I say that is I think you got to be careful about being too dogmatic. And so let me come at this from the angle of the consumer, right? Mm-hmm. So a CEO or a business president, and also from the angle of the producer, right? So your audience here today. And, you know, so I'm going to get information from a lot of sources, you know, from a lot of sources. And that's going to be sometimes very formally. So a strategic plan presentation, that's going to be a PowerPoint. That's going to be a discussion, right? It's going to be there. But then I'm going to be visiting businesses, going to be out with customers, and it's going to be much more informal. It's going to be kind of in the flow. And you're going to get both of those. So someone in my shoes, you're always trying to triangulate. And what I mean by that is you're trying to look at sources of information, and the combination of sources of information is what provides insight. That's what's interesting. So when you're working with somebody who is an expert in intelligence, market intelligence, competitive intelligence, et cetera, you want these discussions first and foremost to be focused, right? They can't be kind of, long-winded, theoretical, not to the point. These things have got to be to the point. So when think of it, it's the old elevator speech, right? We don't stand in elevators together very much.
Right.
It's the elevator speech. So when you're going to that consumer, whoever your customer is in this regard, you want to know the points that you want to make. And so you want to have the thesis or the conclusion. You want really tight. And then the supporting evidence, right, that you can really get in. And then how you came to that conclusion, which I think is really, really, really important, because sometimes you get somebody who sounds really smart and they're able to kind of talk about their information, but then you start digging in, you're like, well, tell me about the process of getting that information. Be thoughtful about how you went about it, because that is meaningful, right? If you read it in a journal and it's somebody else's regurgitated information, it's a commodity, and that could be valuable if connected to something else. So be really sharp and be thorough about that elevator speech and the supporting elements to it. And when you're in a formal discussion, imagine you're pitching something for new product development. Let's just imagine that for a second. Mm-hmm. And you've got to get in there. And the question you have to answer is, why are you going to win? Right. So why are you going to be better than the competition? Why does the customer care if you won, right? Well, how much value are you going to create for that customer? And then how do you go about the win, right? So you've got to kind of walk through that. And oftentimes what I see is I'll see a presentation where somebody will say, well, hey, I've got this great new gizmo. It has these features and benefits, and we want to invest X hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars into it. And here's our execution plan. And they never once really stopped and said, this is the need, right? There is actually a need. There's value to get captured by solving that need. And here's how we're going to solve that need better than anybody else in a defensible way, right? They kind of go all the way down to here's the gizmo. And the gizmo is great, but it only matters if those other questions are answered really thoroughly.
Yeah. So I'm going to take your elevator pitch concept here, and maybe it's a 2019 concept, but let's come up with a pandemic version pitch. Later. Yeah, okay, perfect. The Zoom pitch. So let's say I am a product manager or business line manager, and I've done all my homework, like you say. I think I've got the pitch down pat, and not just jumping to features and benefits, really thinking about the market need that it solves and how we can win. That takes a lot of professional confidence, right? To, you know, come up to the CEO of a multi-billion dollar organization and say, hey, Andy, here's what I think we should do. Here's how the market's going to reward us. Any advice on you as, how do you create that culture that empowers people to have that confidence to come up to you?
Well, I think, first and foremost, it is the attitude of the organization that starts at the top. Mm-hmm. And You can kind of think of it as a pyramid or an upside down pyramid. So I'm going to talk about a pyramid first, and then I'm going to talk about an upside down pyramid. In most organizations, the organization thinks of the CEO as the customer. In a lot of organizations, that's how they think of it, right? So the CEO is sitting at the top of the pyramid and the organization kind of comes down, right? And that's a broken culture, right? Because then if you think of the CEO as the customer, then you're not thinking of the customer as the customer. And if you flip that around, you take that whole thing and you flip it around. And now at the top, right, is the base of the upside down triangle. And feeding that is the customer. And then coming down that triangle is the CEO at the bottom. And the CEO is the servant, right? Everybody else is a customer. And the front line, the people on the front line, they're the most important people in the business because they're touching that customer every single day and they're fighting with that competitor every single day. Yeah. So culturally, that's a big thing. And look, the reality is most of the people who are listening to us today, they don't have the influence today to change that. But I would encourage you as your careers grow and you have those positions where you get to make those decisions, I implore you to make them. really make those decisions because what happens then is now you've opened up possibility. And so what I try to do is I try to have everyone understand how important they are to the organization and their role in it and how they individually connect to the mission. And then if I'm viewing them as my customer, and my job is to enable you to do your job, all kinds of things open up, right? All kinds of things. And so behaviorally, there's some really important things in there. It means going and see, right? It means physically going with people to see. It means when somebody has insight to really, really, really listen. And sometimes it's hard for us all to listen, you know, and when you have a job like the one I have, it's actually really easy to stop listening because very few people tell you you have to. And so, you know, you've got to continue to do that. The one thing I'd say also, you know, to everybody here listening is recognize the importance that you have to an organization. And let me give you an example. So one of the goals that we have at IDEX is to grow 2 percentage points faster than the underlying markets that we're in, right? So if we're generally in global industrial markets and we have some things in health and science and we have some things in municipal, but across our revenue base, we're basically in that kind of, you know, 3% long-term growth world. Well, if you can grow at 5%, right? So if you can grow at that 5%, and you think about what that means compounded over a decade, that's a really big deal. And the only way you grow at that rate, the only way it happens is doing the stuff we're talking about today. You have to have unique insights. You've got to turn that into new markets that you can penetrate. You got to have new products that you can bring to market. So without you folks, without everyone here listening, you can't do that. And that's worth billions of dollars in ultimately value for our owners, our shareholders, to be able to do that. And we have at IDEX, we've changed that. So if you went back 10 years ago, we were barely growing faster than our underlying markets. And today we are consistently organically growing a couple of points above our markets. And then we also acquire businesses. And if we can help them get their growth engine going, that's just worth a ton of value. And so just don't forget how important you are to the organization. You can't crack this nut. You can't win if you don't have this kind of capability to outgrow markets.
Now, Andy, I love that. I mean, it's a really empowering message because it's one of the challenges that, you know, we face as market and competitive intelligence professionals is that we're often smaller shops, right? And one of the great opportunities is how can you leverage your colleagues within the company to be your internal intelligence network, and kind of how you've described it just there. That's everyone's job. It's, you know, you're looking at it through the lens of customer intimacy, but it's, you know, what can we do to bring that voice of market, voice of customer back to the organization so that we can profitably grow. So the pessimist in me though has a question. So, you know, given that IDEX has this decentralized operating model, you know, at the business units, but, you know, across corporate, you know, I'm sure you have, you know, sales and marketing and strategy and what do you do to, you know, find connections and bridge conversations where there should be some, you know, so that you're thinking about growth in a holistic way without making it too bureaucratic and kind of killing what makes IDEX such a great company.
Yeah. So actually, so you mentioned a bunch of functions at corporate. We actually don't have them.
You don't? Okay.
No, we don't. So if you look at our functions that we have at corporate, we have finance. Because we have to, obviously, from an SEC perspective, we've got to brand together. And then we have some basic things around compliance and legal and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But we actually made the choice years ago to actually decentralize some things that had started to get centralized in the company. And the reason we did that is because people can't have two bosses, right? If I'm sitting, I don't think so anyway. I think it's very hard when you start to put multiple matrix in place. I think it's very hard for people to understand what they're responsible for and who they're responsible to. And so we've actually pushed that stuff, made sure it's at the point of impact, it's close to businesses. And that was a really important choice that we made just because of that, because we want people to be as close to customers as they can possibly be. That's what we want. And we want to empower them to do that. So again, if you're a marketing leader at IDEX, there's no way I know anything about what you're doing better than you do. Like, there's just no chance. Now I might be able to help you with some insights. I might be able to ask some good questions. Maybe I can open a door somewhere to help you out. But my job is to enable people, right? That's my job. And you know, one thing I would say relative to doing that job as a marketing leader or a market intelligence leader is don't think you're on an island. Even if let's just say you're one person, like so you are a product manager of a single product line and you don't have anybody reporting to you and it can feel very lonely. But one of the things I would encourage people to do is help get a cross-functional team, build a cross-functional team that actually goes to the customer together. That's a very powerful team thing. When you bring someone from manufacturing, someone from supply chain, someone from engineering, and together you go and are seeing these opportunities and problems really hands-on, that's a very powerful insight. So then when you come back to the organization, you're not the lone wolf going, hey, look at me, I've got an insight. You've got a group of people who have seen it together. And by the way, they've seen it from different perspectives. And so they're bringing different experiences and capabilities to bear on what that problem looks like. And so when you actually start to solve that problem, you know, and go after that opportunity, you have buy-in. You're not having to get buy-in by convincing people. And you have really some different perspectives of how to look at this stuff.
Yeah. I love that. And you know, I love how prominent the voice of the customer is in your thinking and in IDEX's culture. And so, you know, given that, you know, yes, you're a manufacturing company, but obviously you've been really thoughtful in how you incorporate services around that. And so, we all know the digital, you know, revolution is here. And you know, there's this great quote from the CEO of Microsoft that says that, you know, the 2 years of digital transformation happened in 2 months thanks to COVID. Right. So with that, I mean, digital is a huge opportunity for the customer experience. So maybe talk to me through your thinking about the opportunity side of that, but also threats, you know, where companies you never competed with, you know, you might compete with Google all of a sudden, for example. So how do you think about that as you scan the market for opportunities and risks?
Well, I think, you know, first of all, I think that recognition that the future is now, so to speak, you have to admit that it's here. COVID did accelerate a lot of things. I cannot think of a business or a product that we have today that won't have some level of intelligence in the future. I can't think of a single. I mean, we make a band clamp, so think of a clamp that holds something together, right? And you'd say to yourself, oh, geez, that's a simple product. You know, it's a piece of metal. Well, in a lot of applications, I'll use an example of an airbag. It has to be perfect, right? That amount of tension that, you know, that's actually clamping, it has to be perfect. And so if you have a tool that can tell you it's perfect, like the intelligence of it, which we do, that's an advantage. And that's a simple product. And then we have all the things that are going into genetic sequencing, which are already way past that. Every product and every business we have will have a level of intelligence at some point here in the future. So, that is a huge opportunity, because when you solve problems like that and you have that kind of information, the stickiness of the business goes up dramatically, right? So, I think about that. We use we use Microsoft, for our systems. I don't know how we'd ever not use Microsoft. I mean, I don't want to tell them that. But they know it.
It's just the two of us talking. Won't know.
I mean, that network effect is very powerful. And it's increasing everywhere. So the opportunity is to be a leader around that, right? If you're the leader and you have an installed base, it's very hard for customers to walk away from that big installed base as long as you're servicing the problem and you're answering their issues. Mm-hmm. And it's very hard for competitors to come in and supplant you. It's very difficult to do. So the opportunity is just enormous to get this right. And then the opportunity to innovate goes through the roof, right? Because once you have information, so one of the problems that we have in so many businesses that we are in is that lack of information stops you from doing a lot of things. Well, with the amount of information that can be gathered, how a product works in process, or how a customer really is interacting with that product, that changes everything from a new product development, new application development, new service development. It changes everything. And so, this story is kind of a famous story in my own mind anyway. A few years ago, I was in South Africa and I was at a chicken rendering plant. So anyone tells you that being a CEO isn't sexy right there, right? A chicken rendering
plant. Okay, and I'm gonna have to Google this.
Here I am in their control room, quote unquote, okay. Which you can imagine what a control room looks like in a chicken rendering plant.
I don't want to.
And they were having some problems with a pump. So they have a SCADA system and they're getting some information. But they really didn't have good information. I'm thinking to myself, wow, there's going to be a day when we're going to be able to tell exactly what is happening to pump number 8, right, in this plant. And you are going to make that plant so much more efficient. And the number of breakdowns they were wrestling with, not just because of our product, but anything. And the ability for predictive maintenance, the ability to therefore take that information and develop the next generation product is going to be awesome. And so if you're on the forefront, you're going to be the winner. And back to the five forces, right? If you think of the five forces as who has power, you're going to have power. And if you don't, the flip side of this is you're going to go out of business. In my line of work, that happens very slowly because of the installed base. But in reality, right, if you decide you're not going to be part of the digital revolution, in 5 or 10 years, you're going to lose market share constantly, and then you're going to wake up and you're going to realize your business is a third of the size that it was. And so it's this incredible opportunity and it's this massive threat all at the same time, and you can't ignore it or you'll be in peril.
Yeah. Well, that's a powerful point. And I feel like every week or so, there's a new number from McKinsey or other organizations that say there's going to be X trillion connected devices. So you know, if clamps are getting connected, wow, that's amazing. So there's a lot of digital exhaust out there. And so whether it's from your own products, you know, suppliers, customers, et cetera. And so all that raises the issue of creating a culture of where the associates and employees are making decisions informed by data rather than just, this is how it's always been or gut feeling. So where do you see, you know, that transition towards a, you know, data-driven decision-making culture? Where do you see that progressing? And, you know, what have you found that's worked well at IDEX?
Yeah, it's a little bit generational. And I think that's the reality. I think that if I look at I've got two college-age kids and one high schooler, and their comfort level with information, with real data, and obviously in a digital format, is they're natives, right? They've never known anything different. And so they're very comfortable. And so I think there's a recognition that we as an organization have a responsibility for those who aren't as comfortable to help get them comfortable. So there's almost kind of a reverse mentorship, I think, that has to happen to some degree. And it's not about kind of waiting for that group of people to retire out of the business, because you don't have that long. I mean,
not at all.
I mean, I'll just give you a simple example. So I know when I started my career, I got out of business school and I went to work for Danaher Corporation. Mm-hmm. And even before that, when I was a financial analyst, right out of college, I'd go and I'd walk a manufacturing floor and you had single access machine tools. You had machine tools, but they were single axis machine tools, and pretty much everything was analog, right? If it wasn't actually physical.
Now
you walk into, we're in the midst of a major upgrade in one of our facilities in the Midwest, and we're putting in a bunch of machining centers. And these things are awesome. And these are multi-access, all digitized. This is the kind of job that someone's going to be paid really well if they're an expert there, and they can have a really great career being a quote unquote machinist. And they're not really a machinist anymore. They're kind of a computer scientist. They really are. It's awesome. And so how that technology is shifting everywhere, and then getting people comfortable with that and comfortable with information and realizing that it's just the way it is, right? The ship has already sailed and it's going. And if you're not on that ship, it's going to be a very painful moment at some point in the future.
Yeah. Andy, maybe time for one last question here. So we've talked about some of the forces that are really transforming, IDEX and the markets you serve, whether it's, a heightened focus on the customer, digital transformation, demographics even. What are your final thoughts to market and competitive intelligence professionals? How can we really rise to meet the challenge of that changing reality where, things are moving faster than they ever have before, where what worked yesterday won't work today? What can, the SKIP community do to position companies like IDEX and executives like you to really meet that opportunity, but also address the threats?
Yeah, I think it is the training and the development and the comfort level with getting dirty. I really think that is the key, right? Your jobs are massively valuable if you are actually the keeper of the facts. You really know what's going on. And the only way to really know what's going on is to be with that customer very deep, understanding that competitor very deep at a primary level. I like the way you use that, Cam. It is the primary research that creates the insights. That's really the biggest thing. And then from there, taking that confidence, because if you are the person who understands that, you hold the keys to the kingdom, to these companies' success. And sometimes it can feel like, oh gosh, where do I add value? Am I valuable? Does anybody care? Well, if you have unique competitive insights that are data-driven, fact-based, you are the keeper of the kingdom. It is a game changer for most organizations. And again, there are very few industries or marketplaces where there is that high level, high quality information. Therefore, there's an opportunity to really differentiate for your company, but also differentiate for yourself. If you just think about your own career and building your career. And if you think about who ends up running most of these companies end up, people kind of tend to come from one side or the other. They tend to come operationally, or they tend to come commercially, that end up being presidents of organizations. And I love people who come out of ops, but because they tend to bring discipline and things like that. But even they can't be successful until they can make that leap over to really deeply understanding customer needs, to bringing those insights that turn into innovation. And so you're the people here who are listening to this. We rely on you being an expert, and so have confidence that you are an expert and have confidence that you are changing the game.
Andy, that's fantastic. And it's inspiring. It's a powerful message. And I think it's, one that the SKIP audience greatly appreciates. We'd like to thank you for being so generous with your time and everything that you and the team at IDEX does. It's a great contribution to all our lives every day. And I encourage you to keep up the great work and let us know how we can support you.
Oh, thanks, Tim.